The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
At 9:33, the text number is 51551. Now, there are channels on your TV, I call them the Shackletons, because you have to go quite high to get them. And you have to travel quite far to get them. And if you do, you'll know programmes like American Pickers, two guys in a van travelling around junkyards and hoarders' houses to find the treasures that they can sell on. It's intriguing look into people's stuff. And there's a whole raft of these shows. There's Salvage Hunters is another. And now there's Irish Pickers, at last, which features Ian Dowling of RareIrishStuff.com and his team looking for what treasures they can find. So we asked Ian to come and join us this morning to tell us everything. Good morning, Ian.
Morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming in to see us this morning. I'm dying to find out what this is. Before we get into the programme, how did you end up as a picker? So tell us a bit about what you've been doing before this.
Well, I was always into buying and selling. I was always had a knack for kind of buying something for a pound and selling it for two or three.
Yeah.
And I was always kind of involved in, you know, sales and stuff like that. So just basically during the recession, you know, I think most people had to kind of
find a new life.
So I'd come back from Australia and I kind of went back to the one skill that I really have, which is buying and selling, and that's what kind of started all off really for me, you know.
All right, and I think like all great ideas, it probably started in a pub with a mate. And
it did, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I knocked up to a mate of mine one Friday night or something like that. We went for a couple of pints up in Scholar's Pub in Firhouse.
Yep.
And we were just sitting there eating bacon fries, having a chat. And
quality night out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then the GA sweepstakes was being like, they were doing the rounds with the raffle tickets. And just bought a ticket. Didn't think about it. Went on with my bacon fries, my Guinness. Went home Monday morning. You know, at that time, Monday morning, yeah, it was kind of no job. I was in negative equity at the time as well. So it was kind of a, you know, and then I got a call just to say I won 13,500 nice. in the sweepstakes.
Okay.
And that was it. And that's what I used then to kind of buy some antiques.
Okay. So when you say antiques, what sort of era were you interested in?
Well, when I say antiques, I mean, it could be anything really, just something that's interesting, that's old, that has a bit of history to it. It's not necessarily your kind of like standard antiques, like brown furniture, porcelain, silver. I'm not really into that kind of stuff. It's a bit more boring to me. I like kind of stuff that has...
character.
Character. And it doesn't have to have a kind of a huge monetary value attached to it. It just has to have, it could be worth 50 quid and I get the same kick out of that as, you know, many people would out of something that might be worth a lot of money.
Give us a sense of where do you go to find the stuff and what are you looking for ultimately?
I'm looking for something different. I think you can get the best margin out of items when it's something that there's no comparison to really. And, you know, that way then you can maybe name your price really if somebody likes it. And,
yeah.
And that's kind of one of the criteria that I always look for.
And where do you go to find the things you want?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a variety of sources really. Dundeal and adverts, antique shops, auction houses, word of mouth. Just kind of getting out there really. And then once you're kind of in the, you know, once you kind of get into the business, you kind of develop more and more leads as time goes by.
And then you can stumble across something amazing, such as the little briefcase you bought for 50 quid.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good example of something that doesn't necessarily have a big monetary value, but I see a huge value in it. And you see this kind of stuff in auction rooms all around the country, and not just in this country. It's quite a common situation where you'd find personal possessions belonging to somebody, you know, just been put into an auction house and sold for a song, you know. And I find that kind of I love to find stuff like that and then give it a new home and connect it with somebody who's going to treasure it and then, you know, take a bit of profit out of it as well. But I get a real kick out of kind of connecting,
finding
something.
So you got this briefcase and you opened it up and suddenly inside you find somebody's life story.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a good example of it. It was just, 50 quid. It was a briefcase. I had a quick look in it before the auction kicked off, and it was a man's medals and papers and photographs and pretty much his whole life in one little case. You can just kind of imagine him popping it under the bed and keeping it somewhere safe. And, you know, it's really moving when you open something like that and have a look through it. And
World War II?
World War II, yeah. And it was just, I still have that because I wouldn't... again, like the resale value of stuff like that, you'd be surprised at how little, you know, stuff like that would go for.
Yeah.
But
because I watch a lot of these things, like the Whites would do in a collectibles.
Yeah.
You probably see that one.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued by sometimes the value of something I thought would be worth a lot, like a medal from World War II,
yeah,
you'll get for 50, 60 quid. And I thought, God, when you think of what people suffered and went through to get the medal, and really, there's not much. I would have thought there was an awful lot of value to it, but not really.
Yeah, I know.
So you see, and then you'll see something ludicrous to me, like a vase.
Yeah, it could be a silver spoon or something.
Yeah,
and it could be worth 15 grand.
That's right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I had like a whole bundle of love letters from World War II. And I mean, stuff like that, again, you could pay 20 quid for a whole life's worth of love letters between a couple that is just so, you know,
moving
and just special, you know, and so if it gets lost, you know, somewhere along the line and gets found in an auction house, I'd like to bring it and connect it to somebody who would appreciate it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You had a copy of the Good Friday Agreement, was it?
I did, yeah. That was the one that kind of got away. I sold that too fast, you know.
It was signed?
It was signed by everybody, parties involved in the negotiations.
Where did you get it?
I got it from a man out in Galway, and at that time, that was kind of in the early days of kind of doing this, and I got a lot of my leads through Dundeal and adverts, and during the recession at that time, there was a lot of people selling stuff.
And you got too low a price for it, as you see it.
Yeah, well, I flipped it. It was a good price at the time, but you know, it was something that was only going to appreciate in value and become more and more special. It's just such a kind of a pivotal, you know, piece really for Ireland, and something that I think most Irish people would really kind of treasure.
One sold for 16,000 euros.
That's right, yeah.
Does that make you a bit sick?
It does, yeah. But you know what? I'm going to get one someday.
I'm going to get one back,
yeah.
What else do you, what are the things have you bought that you love or the intriguing finds along the way?
Well, this...
You've got a box behind you.
Yeah,
sorry, it looks like a cigarette box, selling box.
Well, this is actually a whiskey vending machine from 1971. And I bought 160 of these from a man down in Kilkenny. And
keep talking, looking over here because
on. So you put in 3 tempe coins and you get a 35 milliliter glass of whiskey.
I've never seen one of those.
I know, yeah.
A whiskey bottle dispenser. Like, we need that like a hole in our heads in this country, but
they
did a job once upon a time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a pretty cool idea, you know. I mean, like they were just, it never really took off. And the man I bought them from, his father in law had brought them in. From the UK, I think they were made, and tried to get the idea going here.
And how many of those boxes did you buy?
I bought about 160 of those. About
vending machines.
Pardon me?
They're vending machines.
Yeah, they're vending machines. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've about 15 left. So they're kind of...
Okay, this is corona-friendly vending, because 3 coins gets you your whiskey and you don't have to touch anyone or see anyone.
It could be the future, yeah.
It could be back in vogue again. So who bought them and why?
Well, if you're a whiskey enthusiast, if you've got a home bar, or if you're a publican, like if you own a pub, you can, you know, put this on a shelf or something, or
it's a quirky curio.
Yeah, it's a cute conversation piece.
Okay.
You know, and people come in, they'll have a chat about it, what's that, and then you'll have a 5-minute conversation. You'll think that's brilliant. That's, you know what I mean? And then that's it. You know,
Mustang Sally's pub in Cork.
Yeah,
that's of interest to you, or it was.
Yeah, that was one of the spots we went to during the TV show. It was a man named Kieran Murray, and he was a club promoter and he owned a kind of a nightclub restaurant in Limerick City for a while. And that was one of the spots we went to during the show.
How do you buy a bar?
He had a bar that was used in Mustang Sally's. And,
okay.
Yeah, and it was like a little, kind of the size of a home bar. And I bought that on the show for 700 quid. The interesting thing about that was that Oliver Reed had a few drinks at that bar.
Good.
So that kind of helped.
And you sold it to a man in America for how much?
Yeah, the client in the States in Minnesota, and he 5 grand.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's a nice time.
That's a nice way. So the program you've just mentioned, tell us about that. That's the one with the Irish Pickers, right? That
we're going to see. Irish Pickers, yeah.
And that's going to be happening next Thursday on Blaze, which is Sky Channel 164. I'm definitely going to tune in for that. What does that see you do? What happens in the program?
Well, it basically just it's like a fly on the wall, I guess. Just following me and my best mate Mark Butterly, around Ireland, we kind of. It just follows kind of what I do really in many ways. And we travel around, we meet interesting people. It really captures the kind of scenery of Ireland and the history, the folklore, the culture, the people, you know.
You bought trench art, right, at one stage?
Oh, yeah,
from World War One.
Yeah, the Battle of the Somme.
Where'd you get it?
I got that from a dealer out in Athenry. And that was a really beautiful piece.
And
yeah.
Did you sell it on, or?
I still have that. It's something that, you know, I kind of get a real a joy out of holding, like a kid who gets a new toy, and I kind of, you know, enjoy having it for a while, like a caretaker or something.
Yeah, I like
before
I pass it on,
and that's something I really, really like. It was a shell that was turned into a lamp, basically the base of a lamp, and you saw a lot of that kind of stuff in World War One.
Yeah,
when people were bored out of their heads, sitting in trenches. Do you know what I mean? Just something to occupy the mind, and that's what that was.
There's they often sell prisoner art from the Troubles as well.
That's right.
I see rubber bullets even.
Yeah,
it will go for a couple of hundred quid. And,
yeah,
you know, because, and as you say, these things, I've bought a few bits and pieces like the things you're talking about every now and again for maybe 100, 150 quid. I wouldn't be going mad, but I put them in my house because they are talking conversation
pieces.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't want like a massive piece of art or whatever, even though I wouldn't mind one, but I don't want one. But I do love curios.
Well, they tell their own story. I mean, some people would buy a piece of art and there'd be a story behind that or the artist's story behind it. But, there's something so real about an object or, you know, something that's passed through many hands and has seen a lot, and just having that in your home. And my house is full of stuff like that, you know.
Well, I can imagine your house. Yeah, it doesn't feature in the programme.
No, it doesn't.
They should. And there's lovely, one of the things I love is history, like letters from Daniel O'Connell.
Yeah.
Or signatures. I'm fascinated by letters or signatures or signing a signature from Arthur Griffith or Charles Stewart Parnell. These often come up, and I've come very close to, I love something like that on my wall. But I love the closeness to history, to see the ink of the pen.
Absolutely.
Of the man who signed and who's so important to a country. Do you feel a certain strain of patriotism running through your job, even if it is just going to salvage yards? But do you feel that way?
Oh, definitely.
Are you protective?
Oh, well, definitely. Yeah, no, I'm fascinated by you know, the passing of time, and I'm just kind of fascinated by Irish history and culture. And it's a weird thing. I'm really into it.
And it's good to try and keep a lot of this stuff in the country if possible.
Absolutely.
You know that. Haggling. Mm. To haggle or not to haggle? That is the question. If somebody's going in and they see that box that you showed me there and it's going for, say, 200, say 100 euro, what should we do? Should give us some tips on that.
If I'm looking for 100 quid for it.
Let me just see. No, I'm coming in and I'm, despite all my showy confidence, I'm actually probably going to be a little shyer in real life. So what do I do?
Well, I think the one thing is really kind of just go in for with a low ball offer, and then that way you kind of going to get a reaction and kind of get the bottom line. That's the
so you Marrakesh it up.
Yeah, it's kind of the way to do it, I think, if you're going to try to buy something and get the best deal on it, you know.
Don't be afraid to go.
Absolutely not. Like, you know, and most people in the trade, I mean, I certainly enjoy that kind of tussle, and most people who are in the trade, like, it's par for the course.
I'm mortified by haggling. I can't do it. This is your stock and
trade. Well, this is it. I enjoy it, but I'm amazed that some people just, you know, shy away from it, because it's particularly if you're at a market or, you know, you go into an antique shop, that's the trade, and most people expect it. So you're letting people off the hook pretty easy.
Aren't you, if you take it at the value. And what about if you are nervous and you do want the item and you do feel it's a little out of your reach, and yet you know that if you bring the price down, you'll get it, but you just have this innate nervousness. What do you do with that?
If you can't really afford what the dealer's looking for, I would just tell them straight up, listen, I'm not trying to haggle, I'm not trying to lowball, I'm just like, I've got 50 quid for this.
Good.
And I will give this a good home, and I'd really appreciate it.
Would that matter?
Because it's not all about, I get a massive kick out of making a profit and making money along the way. I get a big buzz out of that, but I also get a huge buzz from kind of like, connecting somebody with something that they genuinely will love. And so if that meant taking 50 quid less for something, I've done that in the past.
Because you can see it in someone's eyes. They really want this.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
Like, you make someone's day. And they may have that for the rest of their days. And they may even pass it on. You know what I mean? So that's a really kind of a privileged position to be in that.
Okay.
Kind of, to be able to do that.
What is the worst question you can ask if you're trying to haggle? What's the do not ask question?
I just think being rude is kind of the worst thing, you know? I mean, just being rude is kind of the worst way to go about things. If you're nice and polite, no matter what it is, even if you've, I just think that's the best approach. To get the best result. Like,
that's,
you know,
how we started the program about the COVID thing. It's just everyone needs to be kind of civil.
Yeah.
And haggling doesn't need to be obnoxious.
Absolutely not. I mean, it turns people away, and people would prefer you not to get the item if you're rude about it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, that's natural. And but if you're somebody who's nice and polite, I think that just, it's like any business really, isn't it?
It goes far. It goes far. I have an ad, Anne Tracy was on to say, I have an ad for Clark's Perfect Plug, I presume that's tobacco, is it? And says made in Cerstod Éireann. And my grandmother wrote December 1928 on the back, and she used it to back a photograph. And it looks like maybe a first colour photo. So everyone has stuff, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Addicts are heaving with it. And if they want to get rid of it, should they bring it to, like, who should they bring it to if they have all the this wonderful trove of...
Well, there's a couple of options. I mean, you can bring it to an auction house. An auction house would basically a lot of the time sell to the trade or to collectors. There's commission involved in that as well. So, but that's one option. You can sell it directly to a dealer or on Done Deal or adverts. Or you can give me a shout. And or if we're doing a season two, you can get in touch with the production company if you've got a nice big... hoard of stuff that you'd like to sell. I'd be your man.
You're the man. Ian Dowling. Irish Pickers airs at 9 o'clock Thursday 19th of March on Blaze, which is Sky Channel 164. I will be watching. A text says, always haggle. They put it on to take it off.
Absolutely.
Not a bad line, actually. I like that. Is there anything that you would love to buy that you've seen or you know will be on the market, or something that for yourself that you just haven't quite got your hands on yet?
To be honest, the number one target for me is getting a Good Friday Agreement.
You're determined to go.
Well, it is. Yeah, it's the one thing that I kind of really regret selling, and ever since it's the one thing that I want to kind of acquire again.
That's so funny. That's your thing.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, it really is. So someday I'll be.
You'll hold it. Do you want to keep it, or you? Just
I'd like to keep it and frame it and put it on the wall. Yeah, it's just a huge piece for in Irish history.
You got that right. Okay, Ian, it's great to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise.
We'll be watching your program.
Thanks so much.
I just love what it's about and where it's going. So good luck with it all, and thanks for coming in to see us this
morning. Thank you for having me.
Ian Dowling, live in studio this Thursday morning at 10 to 10.